This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Drum. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Millionaire Chess Open. It is Millionaire Monday and the games are actually in progress in the Celebrity Hall. And there's a lot of excitement going on surrounding the games, and I'll be going in there in a minute. I have with me Ashiq Usman, who played in the under 2200 section, and he is a very ardent supporter of the Millionaire Chess. He is probably one of the biggest supporters, I would say. So all the commentary and the videos that he's done has been greatly appreciated by Maurice and Amy. So how did this tournament go for you?
Hi, Daim. First of all, thank you for taking my interview. So basically, you know, we have been with Millionaire Chess from the very inception, right? We knew each other a lot long before we actually met in Millionaire Chess One last year. So this tournament is not going as good as I expected, primarily because I recently had a career job switch and I have been focusing on my software engineering career for last several months or so. I knew that my playing strength is going down. So I scored 2.5 out of 7 in the under 2200 section. My son is also playing, as you know. He was one of the youngest in the Millionaire Chess One also. He is also like 2.5 out of 7. He's in the under 1600, although his playing strength is around 1100. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a little bit tough for him, I would assume. So yeah, the tournament, one part is the playing and another part is getting the experience, right? And that one, I have been playing in all the tournaments that you can name except World Open. I never managed time to go there, but nothing is like Millionaire Chess. We all who are playing here, we know it very well that how different it is. So we have been having it like as a chess vacation, always, just like last year. We have been enjoying.
Yeah. And so you're on the West Coast?
Yeah, so I live in San Francisco Bay Area. My city is Fremont. So I have been living here for last 10 years now. And you know that most of the IT jobs, software engineering jobs are better around the Silicon Valley.
Silicon
so that's
Valley.
Why I live there, yeah. So I'm one of those in one of the Silicon Valley companies. I recently joined Tube Mogul. This is in Emeryville, where I work, yeah, mm-hmm. as a software engineer.
Well, you're originally from Bangladesh. I saw your son wearing his T-shirt with the flag. It's very. Tell the audience your son's name.
Yeah. So my son is Ahian Zaman. You must have seen him with the Bangladesh T-shirt mm-hmm. yesterday, like with right. the flag in the T-shirt. Mm-hmm. So actually, from the very first when Millionaire Chess One or 2014 started, at that time one Bangladeshi actually registered from Bangladesh, but somehow he could not manage to come, but the flag was there at that time. Although me and my son is from Bangladesh, we are from Bangladesh, but we represent United States Chess Federation, so that's why for us Amy could not have ordered Bangladesh flag. So I'm grateful for that person from Bangladesh who is coming. I saw that the flag is there. Even this year I am seeing it. So we are from Bangladesh, and you know Bangladesh is a small country, a developing country. It's one of the next 11, but one of the things Bangladesh is big in is actually chess. Mm. So like Bangladesh has 5 grandmasters, and Bangladesh is one of the top 50 countries in the world in chess, while if you think in other indexes, Bangladesh is quite behind compared to 50. So one of the interesting things we are very proud of is that from the Indian subcontinent, the Bangladeshi grandmaster Niyad Murshid was the first grandmaster. The second grandmaster is named who? Vishwanathan Anand. So now you can imagine. So Bangladesh has a very good chess culture or chess activities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are from there. Mm-hmm.
So in this Millionaire Chess, you had mentioned that, okay, maybe some things didn't go as planned,
right.
In terms of the organization. Mm-hmm. What do you think we can take away from the second edition of the Millionaire Chess?
Yeah, so definitely if few things you can imagine, a few perks had to go away, right? If you look at the during the check-in time, the nice bag that we got versus what we got today, right? So slowly, one of the thing I appreciated a lot was the Millionaire Chess app, that mobile phone, mm-hmm. that was not also there this time, and I understand probably because there was not enough users. So in terms of organization, so I guess I was initially thinking that for such high scale tournaments, it's always good to rotate the venue or location. So I think Amy and Maurice already recognized it, and they already announced that the third edition will be somewhere else. So a lot of people like us, we play, we actually don't play for prize money, right? We really play for something else in chess. So like, for example, for me, it has to be something like a vacation, an enjoyable environment, and getting to know a lot of different type of people, right? So that's why I think changing the location or the setup, everything, is a very good idea. And I think in Millionaire Chess 3, that's what we are going to see.
Yep. Well, I'm actually lobbying for it to come to Florida, where I live, and maybe maybe you can get to Orlando or Miami, and that would be a good that would be a very good opportunity for me. But what are some of the new innovations? You mentioned that there were some things that were taken away, but what are some of the new additions that you notice that were good?
Okay, so one of the first thing is a very clever idea of Millionaire Square Prize, right? So just the fact that some player has a chance, one out of 64 chance, to get a $1 million outright outside other than the prize itself is very good for, you know, attraction or marketing or buzz, whatever you can say. So that one thing I noticed. I see the control of the tournament arbiters, they are controlling a lot more confidently now when they are actually handling the issues and stuff. Another thing I saw very nice, that the Nakamura Luke McShane controversy, right? So no matter what, I think the Maurice Ashley handled it very well. Like, of course, there are controversy and he is frustrated, the organizers are frustrated on behalf of the players, but I guess they kept it very professional, and so far it worked out well. I come with my family all the time, right? Like my wife, my son also plays, my daughter also plays. So I would assume that they feel comfortable here. So for example, although I and my son are playing here, they are like just watching for 5 or 6 days, right? We come one day earlier. So yeah, the fact that they like this environment or context, that helps. Another thing I barely missed was the pool party. I think it was very fun. The pictures I saw, I know, Diane, you also missed by a small margin. So I think that was a very good idea. Another thing I saw is that this time there were 2 breakfasts. Last time there was only 1 breakfast, like 5 day, right? This time there was a 5 day and also a breakfast for the 4 day. So
now you didn't try to go to both of them, did you?
No way. So, but I was thinking like whether I should enter into the 5 day or 4 day. Last time also I was confused. This time also, like, you know, we have to take leave from office, and for people who has to, I know you have to also manage some stuff, sick leave, right? Yeah. So for us, rather than anything else, that taking 1 day off is a more bigger issue than the costing or other things. So maybe next time I'll consider playing on the 4 day tournament. But yeah, so these are the good things I'm seeing. And I think also I noticed that this time the number of foreign players and grandmasters was higher. So which means last year a lot of people had a reservation, you know, for such a $1 million prize money. A lot of people simply said that Maurice and Amy are not going to even pay off that much money, even if they win, right? That first time's doubt was clear once it was handed over nicely last year. So that's why I think now a lot of professional players or high stake top players came this year. On the downside also, I see is that there was only one under 1600 section. So so players like Ahian, he had to play almost all the time against 1500 players, 1400 players when his rating is 1100. So maybe it would be good to be under 1400 or under 1500. Maybe under 1600 is really little big for players who are around 1000 rated. Mm-hmm. So that is a gap maybe. That's one area to work out, but it's okay. No big complaint.
I think one of the things that I liked, the new things I liked, was the wristband that the RFID data entry, and the fact that It was supposed to be upon registration that you could register that way as well, but also after you finished your game, you would come out of the hall and you would scan your wrist and you would punch your result, which probably, you know, eliminates the writing it on the scorecard and perhaps more accurate. I think that's one of the things that that I like. And of course, Amy added the women's champions in the hall, which I had a conversation with her about that. And I think the main thing is that even if things don't work 100%, at least there are new ideas. And just like, and that's why we play chess. We play chess, well, at least I play chess for the ideas, and the ideas that I can find on the board, even though they're not perfect. It shows, you know, growth, it shows development, and I think that's a good thing about some of what is being attempted, even though maybe it's more than they have capacity for. But I think there's potential improvement, especially if we get sponsors on board. What do you see as some ways we can maybe attract sponsorship? Because this would be a perfect opportunity. You know, you have 50 countries, and you have people from those countries watching, and then that's advertising. You're reaching all of those countries. But what do you think can attract these sponsors? Because we haven't been able to attract any.
Yeah, a very nice idea, actually. So basically, how we attract these sponsors is one of the things sponsors want to know is that, okay, what type of coverage is there, right? So we saw that the online coverage is pretty good. Like this time, again, Tanya was there, Lawrence Trent, Robert Hayes, and there is not much trouble with the online viewing also. A lot of our friends, I saw that they have been watching it either on chess.com or directly millionairechess.com live. So the coverage worldwide as well as internally, that video coverage they are taking is very good. So these are the things sponsors should be looking at. And if you remember, Maurice was telling in the opening breakfast that it helps if we also try to spread the words in social medias like Facebook, Twitter, which we have been doing. Like #MC2 has been one of the most typed words by me in recent last few days, right? So now comes the point is that, okay, so sponsors has to know what's the frequency of people talking about it and what's the volume, right? And also what's the quality. So one thing you can imagine that the quality is at the highest level because all the players coming here are actually have been playing several thousand dollars just to play in this tournament. So all the players who are coming, they're really passionate about chess. They are not just let me try out something. Very few are like that. So this type of people, they are usually their purchase capacity or everything, purchase decision is very, you can influence, it's not rigid. So for sponsors, I think this is a very good opportunity. Where we lack is the reach out. So for example, I myself am a software engineer. I work in Silicon Valley, and in the past, I saw that my company, I was working in Salesforce even until 1 month earlier, and they just paid how many millions of dollars, like $20 million or something to one of the San Francisco Giants game in AT&T Park. They booked the whole park for the game and all those things. Like, this money is nothing to them, this amount of money. But when I try to approach the HR, like, okay, what can be done on chess? And they're like, no, there is no specific guideline on doing something for a particular sport. So there must be some other ways you channel to those companies who actually can give you a lot of money. One example is Magnus Carlsen came just a couple of years back, and he played 3 games against Facebook Zuckerberg, Microsoft's Bill Gates, and Google's Larry Page, and he just took $1 million each, $3 million for a non-profit company. So that means those companies are ready to give you money as long as you can convince. All we need is the right footstep. So we have been trying, like I'm involved a little bit in calchess.org, and what I started, I created a Salesforce chess club, and now I'm in TubeMogul. I created TubeMogul chess club, and we are going to start next month a inter-company chess tournament. So basically, first it will be TubeMogul Chess Club versus Dropbox Chess Club, and then slowly I plan to be, we are trying to get the other companies in. So the San Francisco Cisco Mechanics Institute's director, I am John Donaldson, he is directly helping me out. It will be held in the San Francisco Mechanics Chess Club. So what we identified, we talked earlier, is that these software companies we need to attract. They have money. We just have to first make them familiar with the environment and the chess culture, and then show them the potential. So he is working on it, we are working on it, like that. There must be other people in different places. Like in this tournament itself, I met one guy from Microsoft. So I talked the same, and he is very interested.
So he was playing in the tournament?
In the tournament, in Millionaire Chess 2. We just met in the Skittles room. So he was saying, like, yeah, I saw you. Where do you are? That's how we got hooked up. And so looks like that if we can just even start with the different companies chess club, small chess club, people play during the lunchtime in the canteens and stuff. That may be one area which we players directly can try. And organizers like Emily, Maurice Ashley, or others, large organizers, what they can try is directly going through USCF Chess Federation that, hey, we want to arrange just a US cadet chess tournament, cadet players, or some particular type of age or category tournament. If they try, I think all they have to know that there are other games than rugby and baseball where people are looking into it. And right now movies like Pawn Sacrifice is coming out, and now whenever I talk to someone, they say they know Fisher. They knew Fisher not only because of this, right? So we have to somehow let those words go to their ears. And I think there are a lot of enough money with the corporates. They never are shortage of money. We will be able to somehow get sponsorships to that.
Well, you said a lot of things, particularly the what we call in Chicago the industrial league, where you had companies play in this league, corporations, and also they have it in New York. I think they call it the Bankers League. It's some kind of league of companies. But you mentioned Pawn Sacrifice, and of course people are talking about what type of awareness that gives people of chess. And of course I did a review on the movie, and I'm not sure how positive of an impression it will give. But I think the MC company does need a marketing force. And I had mentioned some time ago about the paraphernalia that they're selling now, that it would have been feasible to have T-shirts that people can wear to tournaments, to other tournaments around the country, and it would bring some awareness. In addition, a sales team for selling the concept of getting advertising, you know, during the tournament. I think there needs to be skilled people who have the skill to sell chess. And there are not many people who can do that. Maurice Ashley is one of them.
Yeah.
But I think the organization needs to assemble a marketing sales team to go out and aggressively seek sponsorship. Maybe Maurice is part of that team. Maybe he finds others who are actually professionals, you know, in marketing and in sales or in advertising. And I think that might be a great help to the Millionaire Chess. But saying that, we both know Amy has put in a lot of work, and she has taken some criticism, and some of it's quite unfair, you know, to be honest. But going forward, what do you think are some things that could be done to maybe minimize these glitches? Because there's been a lot of forfeits in the pairings, and there have been some other issues with some of the controversies that have happened, and also I just learned about the mixed doubles. There was a team where one of them wasn't rated, and there was an objection on that. But all of these little things, and you probably heard some other things.
Right.
So what do you think are some things that can be done to help correct the small details where that are so important?
I think one of the thing is the number of workforce working for Emily or Maurice Ashley is a little bit limited, right? They must be working with the people they trust a lot, like very close. So people like you and me, we are so busy in our work, we can only give a limited amount of help to them, not much, right?
Right.
So one of the thing I think what Amy and Maurice can do, they can create a volunteer pool, even from the chess players, and get a commitment of a limited amount of time, not too much, but a limited number of time. Amy has many good friends by now in the chess world, right? Mm-hmm. She has nobody in chess, and now she is a chess celebrity, in fact. Huh? So
in 2 years.
Yeah, in 2 years. Can you imagine that? And she already got an award, like from USCF, right? One of the...
Koltanowski Award.
Exactly, exactly. So she is a very well-known figure in chess now. So what she can do, she can compile a pool of volunteers that she can trust on, let's say 15 or 20 volunteers, and cross-check with them the minute details, all of this, from planning. I know Amy must have taken recommendation for at time to time, times she took from me, and when she once visited in Fremont, we actually sat down, did some brainstorming also. So, but I regret that I cannot give a lot more time than what I can, but definitely some amount of time we all can give, and she can actually come up with that pool and run the ideas with those pool and the execution details, like this is how it is planned. A lot of those things, if we see, we can instantly actually, one of us can find the gap in the planning session itself. Not every time you or I will be able to find it, but once in a while, one of them in the pool, it will be very obvious to them. Like, oh, there can be a problem here, or a similar problem happened in the past year. So I think that will be one of my recommendations, is working with a pool. She must be already working with a pool, but maybe very limited number, to take some from the chess players who has been playing in both the millionaire chess, so we know already what are the problems or what can happen and all those stuff. That will be one area. And then I know Amy takes a lot on herself, like she works so hard, it's unbelievable that someone can work like this. Mm-hmm. So and when you work so much on certain things, you may also make mistakes, right? So that's why you will need to run all those as a second pair of eye, third pair of eye,
right,
your idea. So I think that will be one of the my recommendations.
Well, let's talk about chess a little bit. Okay, we mentioned our participation here. I got, I think, 3 out of 7. Lost my last 2 games.
Yes.
But it was still, you know, very enjoyable. I met a lot of people that I've only known online, but obviously the chess in the open section is very exciting. Have you been able to follow the games any, and which player do you think may come out on top in the end?
Yeah, so basically I have been following the games in millionairechess.com live broadcast or in the viewing room directly. And of course, when I was playing, I walked around the players just to see what's the position of Nakamura or Caruana's board. So what I have been seeing is that the players in the top level in the open section, their playing strength is quite high now. Like last year, Wesley So was the top rated player, and this time he is probably number 3. So definitely there are a lot other players who came who did not participate in the last time. So the games itself that I saw is fantastic, but I think from my level it will be difficult for me to appreciate the difference between what were the games last year versus this year. But as far as I saw Nakamura playing, he has been playing, or Gatakomsky has been playing, their games, a few games I saw, has been playing fantastic, like almost error free. Mm-hmm. So at a classical version also, as well as in the rapid section also, like playing at such accuracy level, it really, that tells us why they are so good players. So for the other sections, I felt like, I don't know how you felt, Diane, is that I felt like that this time the players are a little stronger than last year. I felt that the playing strength of average players is higher in each of these sections. So that may be because maybe some players played in Millionaire Chess 1 as a kind of first timer who were not that well prepared or serious, but the second Millionaire Chess, whoever is playing, all are playing with preparation, mm-hmm, with certain will, some will to do very good. So that's why maybe the average playing strength looked to me stronger this year than last year in all other sections. Like the players that I know of, other than my son's coach Ted Castro, who is right now playing in Millionaire Monday, all my players from Fremont, where we came from, has a has scored a little lower than last year, including myself. Like last year I scored 3.5, this time I scored 2.5. I know you also scored 3.5 last year, I think, or 4.
I don't remember.
I think a little more. I remember you scored something around that, and this time you scored 3. Like my son also, he scored like 4 last year, this time he's 2.5. Except Ted, who scored a little less last year, this time he's doing good. So that also tells me that the playing strength is a little tougher, I mean, higher this time, chess-wise.
You know, the other thing that I like about the tournament is, I was asking you some of the innovations, the confessional booth.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go in there?
Oh, I have went there 3 times. I forgot. Like, this is one of the biggest thing in Millionaire Chess 2, other than that, the Dev's invention, that, you know, that checking-in system with that wristband, which actually I initially reviewed when Dave and Amy came up with the ideas, and I also looked at being a software engineer. So, but the confessional booth was the best, and like my son went in once every round, so 7 rounds he went 7 times. He loves it so much, he just tries to find the next CISO, I have to go. And I myself went 3 times, and I think this is a fantastic idea. A lot of time what we do is, like, in our during our game, when our opponent is thinking, we walk around anyway, just see other game, drink water. So at that time, just spending 1-2 minutes for the players is no big deal for the players' game. But what it is very good is for the organizers and audiences. So they come up, they are knowing some things they would never know probably earlier. Like, for example, I'm playing game, and then I went and I started talking about Pawn Sacrifice movie. Definitely, not only because I liked the movie, recently I actually arranged this movie to view together as
viewing.
A group. And we 17 people viewed together in Redwood City near Silicon Valley, that place. And the movie team actually sent me a nice poster of Pawn Sacrifice with the moves of the game, the score sheet printed in the back of the poster. So it's like a collectible for me, like limited edition collectible. So I was talking about this in the confessional booth. Similarly, I was talking about, okay, here are my guesses for where Millionaire Chess 3 can be. So all those ideas actually gave the commentators also to talk, discuss a little bit outside of the game when they were doing the live broadcast, right? So the players will feel like, okay, we got something out of the tournament, even if we didn't win prize. And the audience, whoever is watching, they'll feel like, oh, I should have been there.
Right.
Exactly. Right? So that will attract the name. Like, it's not only the prize money or the winning. There are other things in the tournament. And you start seeing the good and bad things from the confessional booth. People will start, not much probably have been shared this time, but the more it becomes regular, people will start giving more feedbacks in the confessional booth. So I think this is an amazing invention. They started in St. Louis first, or
Sinkfield Cup.
So it's a nice contribution, and I told Maurice Ashley that it's one of the best thing I'm liking about Millionaire Chess 2. Thank you for reminding me on that.
I think obviously in the next edition, and that if there are some improvements that can be made, is the details in any organization. When you're putting on events, it's really the small details that can make or break an event.
Yeah.
And I think things like having the phone app, not having that back, I think I used it quite a bit, and I thought it was good because you can see your pairings. You can, you know, you had a database there that you could look at, and you can, you know, post comments. And but I think going forward, we have something to build on. You can always go and review. Do a review, and I know they're going to do that after the event. They're going to go over the notes and say, okay, this is what happened here. We could, you know, correct that. And maybe there has to be some personnel changes, some additions to give them more relief, because to put on an event like this with two people and a small staff is just unthinkable. And you have somebody like Amy who works seemingly 20 hours a day. You can't maintain that. You can't maintain that kind of pace
for several months or something.
No, you can't. And I wouldn't want her to maintain that, and to have health, you know, adverse health health effects of that. But it's been a good experience, and glad that we were able to catch up. And I'm sure we'll remain on the MC team, and hopefully for many editions after.
Yeah.
Any closing remarks?
Yeah, so I am a big supporter of Millionaire Chess. I'm a lifetime VMP member, just like you, dying on this. And I wish success to Millionaire Chess. And I want this high-stake chess is a very feasible concept. So I would love to see other companies, other organizers also come out and sponsors come out and make this successful. This is a great event. We chess players have to share some responsibility, some support for this, for sure. So I invite all my fellow chess friends that let's support initiatives like this, Millionaire Chess. Yeah, thank you, Dime.
Thank you, Ashiq. And we're going to go in here and watch Millionaire Monday. Yeah. And for the Chess Drum audience, we're in Las Vegas, and we're going to go in here and watch some chess. Enjoy.